your attention from last week when we talked about the motivation for having quiet times, of how much we really need this time with God, and what a privilege it is to have access personally to the living God. What an amazing privilege we have. And we're not dealing, I hope, tonight with any sense of guilt or of a duty in terms of times of quiet with God, but we're talking about enjoying those times of silence and being with God. Psalm 62 is still our touchstone for this series. When David wrote, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken." So last week we talked about our motivation. This week we're going to talk about some practicals. Next week we're going to talk about resources. We'll come on to that. But today, some essential components of a quiet time. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to have regular, meaningful, quiet times with God. That's what I want. Regular, meaningful times with God. But I struggle. I'm maybe not the only one. I have three main struggles. Consistency is one. Creativity, getting dull, repetitive sometimes, losing that sense of freshness, is a second challenge. And the third is sometimes having my quiet times but not sensing that connection with God. Those are three of my struggles. I don't know whether you ever struggle with any of those. But I know what I want, but sometimes find it difficult to get it. And the irony of all that, of course, is also that I write about a relationship with God. I preach about it. I teach about it. I record podcasts about it and broadcast them. I put videos on YouTube about it. I even run a Facebook group about quiet times. And I coach people in quiet times, some from abroad. And so here I am, struggling with my consistency and my creativity and my connection, and feeling like a fraud a lot of the time. But I realize I'm not the only one. And maybe you also struggle with these issues of creativity and connection and consistency. So if you're like me, this week's class is for you. And part of the blessing of teaching it is that the class is for me as well. So preparing it helps me. Now here's our key thought for today, what I'd like to get across, is that you are not a victim of circumstances. You are a creator of circumstances. In terms of your quiet times, you are a creator, not a victim. We're going to talk more about that as we go through today, as we think about how we can get greater consistency and stronger connection and enjoy more creativity. We've got to think about the way that we ourselves take responsibility for creating the right circumstances for these things to actually happen. So that's what we're going to do, look at today. Now, just a quick review of last week, not to go over it again, but just to remind us that we talked about what a quiet time is, and this is one of my, definitions of a quiet time. It's just a moment of unhindered connection with God. It could be as long, it could be 30 seconds, it could be 30 minutes. But it's that moment or moments of unhindered connection with God, which means it could be first thing in the morning or it could be several times during the day, spread out. But I think that's kind of what it is. We talked about the fact that if we spend time with God alone, we will learn better to love God alone, to love him above all other things. We talked about the fact that quiet times help us to reconnect with God, and in reconnecting with God in our quiet times, we're reminded of who he is, we're reminded of who we are in his sight. We are refreshed in our faith and our gratitude for the love of God, say. And we are reoriented so that we follow Jesus, we walk with him more accurately, prayerfully, because we've, at least at some point in the day, reconnected with our Lord. And that's a large part of the reason for our quiet times. We talked about the fact that for this to work, we've got to learn to be flexible, which will form part of what we're going to talk about more tonight and next week. If we're going to have that connection with God, we've got to be flexible, and consistency, we've just mentioned a bit earlier. We'll talk more about that in a while. We talked about two things we will need to bring to our quiet times, and we need to bring our humility, because we're encountering the Holy God. We also need to bring our courage, because sometimes what we discover in these times of quiet with God are we come face to face with things we have perhaps tried to avoid facing. It's funny how some silence, some times of quiet, can reveal some deeper things that are going on that we may not even be that aware of. Some of it's subconscious until we're quiet enough for it to surface into the conscious part of our thinking, feeling, being of who we are. And so we talked about that. Now, before we go any further, I just wondered if anybody would like to share about your response to last week's class or the sermon on Sunday, which was connected, of course, with that. Talk about anything or ask any questions about these we've talked about so far, about quiet times and so on. Anybody like to share your experiences of silence, if you've been practicing or anything like that? Karen?
Yeah, I think I always felt that you had to read so much of the Bible, and you had to pray for so long, and there's almost like a formula to it. So I've actually tried really hard this week just focusing on a couple of verses of Psalm, and then just trying to be quiet. I've actually found that really difficult because other thoughts keep on popping in your head.
Yeah,
sure. But it's definitely given me a beginning to start trying nothing.
I appreciate you giving it a go. Thank you. Rudy.
Well, I shared this with a few people, but this was a very difficult week. And last few weeks have been actually quite difficult, just work-wise. I had an enormous amount of work to complete by this past Wednesday, Thursday. I had meetings with my clients, management, and there's a lot of things that needed to be discussed. I had to present what I did in the last month. It was about three months' worth that had to be done in a month. And so we had to. It was very stressful, and we knew there's no way you could do all this work, and so we had to be fairly creative and decide what are the important things to do and what not. But you don't know what's going to be asked of when you're in a meeting, and what, you know, deeper questions will be asked. And, you know, always that stress of, oh, what if, you know, some things that we glossed over, the client really feels is important to you, and then manage to give full attention to that. So I felt extremely stressed. And I remember on Sunday, I think I shared with you, Malcolm, sorry, I just, the whole day I felt so flustered. I just like felt like a ticking time bomb. People must not be get close to me. And so, but what helped me so much during the week, I went to work on Monday, and thinking about what you shared on Friday and on Sunday. And I think, like, well, the problem here is that I'm so consumed with this problem in front of me that that is everything. And I know that God's the solution, but I'm not getting to it. And so even at work, I just started, I took some time and I sat in the little kitchen there and I went through your notes and I went through the scriptures. And it's amazing just to be brought back to the fact that once you're close to God and you just make that silence and you just push out all this other noise that wants to crowd you, consume you, and overwhelm you. So we felt overwhelmed. It was incredible. I went through the scriptures. You know, where Jesus, my burden is light. You know, I'm yet to give you rest. You know, you will have trouble. Yes, I feel.
Yes.
But I've overcome the world. Oh, that's right. You tend to forget these things.
Yes.
And what you also said on Sunday is just Jesus has the answers and His way works. I'm like, but I know this. Why am I not doing that? And I reminded myself so much of Israel. Keep on running to other gods. The God of, oh, I just can't work hard enough. I just put enough hours. I was working 12-hour days in a row for a couple of weeks. And it just, I felt like I was dying. Like, yeah, well, I will die. I will even die spiritually if I continue this path, because that's not what I'm meant for. That's not what God called me for. But it was amazing from Monday, who, you know, also going through Philippians 4, just realizing that what I need is that peace of God. You know, where can I get that? Only from Him. And how things just turned around. And how I managed to, where I could not even sleep during the night. I just got complete calm. I just prayed and God gave me the focus. I could do the things that needed to be done. And in the end, the meetings were a great success. Everything went fine.
Correct.
But I think what I just learned is that I forget so easily that God's the answer. Mm-hmm. And he has to be God. I've got to, that's where I have to go to. Otherwise, I won't be able to function. I won't survive. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when you just get back to that to see, like, wow, it's incredible how that actually works. It is the truth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. I mean, it's the peace that passes
exactly
understanding, human understanding. Doesn't fit with human experience.
Right.
Well, thanks for both of you sharing that. I think we'll better move on because I've got a few more bits and pieces to squeeze into tonight's class. But let's be talking about what we're learning from this with each other, because mm-hmm. we'll have different experiences that will be valuable for one another. And we'll have some more sharing next week. So this week, all right, what are we talking about this week? We are talking about what a quiet time means, about some of the practicals that can help a quiet time be what we want it to be, what we hope it will be. And we're going to begin by looking at some real life examples of people who were not a victim of their circumstances, but were creators of their circumstances in terms of their relationship with God. And so you have this on your sheet where you have a chart there with one scripture for David, one for Daniel, one for Jesus, one for Peter. What I'd like us to do right now is take 3 minutes, pick one of these, and have a quick look at the scripture. Don't try and exegete everything to do with the whole passage and understand everything in it. But what I would like you to do is to ask yourself the question that's on the screen, but also on your handout, which is, what did this person need, David, Daniel, Jesus, or Peter, what did they need to make their time with God, that quiet time they had with God, possible? What did they need? It might be a practical thing in terms of a physical thing, or it might be a practical thing in terms of a spiritual or an emotional thing. But what can you see? So pick one, only one of them. Don't look at all four now. You can look at the others for your own quiet times another time. But do look at one of them right now. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, and then let's see what we discover when we look at these. So pick either David in 2 Samuel, or Daniel in Daniel 6, or Jesus in Mark 1, or Peter in Acts 10, and ask the question, what did they need? What did they create? What did they need to make their quiet time possible? Okay? So 3 minutes. And the thing is ticking down. There we go. All right, 3 minutes to have a look at that and see what you discover. You can share it with each other if you want to, with someone sitting next to you. What do you see? Just throw out anything. It's not, we don't need an essay. This is more like bullet points. What do you see? Which passage were you looking at, and what do you see? Wallet?
Yeah, I think it's the book of Acts.
Peter, yeah?
Yeah, Peter.
What do you see there?
I saw him, he needed a quiet place in the midst of his activity.
He had
to climb on the roof.
Had to climb on the roof. Okay. There were probably some steps up there, but he found a different place.
Yes.
Okay. All right, another one. Yes, Rudy.
So I looked at David.
David, yeah.
Interesting passage as we're the child, the age of...
What do you see?
Died. And so what was interesting is that there's quite a few things in here, but before he...
Worked, just give me one. Yeah.
He bathed and he lotioned. He sort of prepared himself. It's like physically. Kind of got I don't know if he had to get into the right mood, the right frame of mind, just sort of calm down or collect his thoughts.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing, I didn't see that before.
He's, for some reason, that seemed to help him to be ready. Okay, Mika, which one?
Daniel,
yeah.
Daniel, and just being heard that there's the degree that basically forces him to go, well, thrown into the lion's den if he continues to.
So what did you see in terms of his circumstances?
So he's acknowledging that, but he decides to continue doing what he's been doing so far.
All right, it's persevering, which takes?
Courage.
Great deal of courage. Okay, so his courage rises to the occasion of what he needs for his quiet time, to have a quiet time. All right, it's Alex.
The one in 2 Samuel as well.
Oh, yeah?
And
yeah.
It seemed like David kind of needed to hit rock bottom.
Yeah, his child is dead.
Yeah.
That seemed to propel him into worship. Bad, tragic news.
No choice.
But in a way, he had a choice, right? He had a choice how he reacted to that tragic news. But he reacted with worship. He made a decision. He wasn't a victim of his feelings of the tragedy. That's an interesting thing. Okay, a couple more. What else did we see, Albert?
I was also looking at Daniel. I thought that he wanted to maintain his existing relationship with God.
Right.
That's what I saw. And so he was praying three times a day because he wanted to maintain that relationship.
Yes.
Just as he had done before.
Just as he had done, it's right. It's not new, it's just continuing. Excellent, thank you. Yes?
Mark chapter 1, verse 5. I saw
Jesus. Someone picked Jesus. Okay, I'm glad you heard. All right, good.
I saw Felix on Jesus. He said, stay early in the morning, when still dark. I saw lack of fear there. Felix. I'm also courage. You go absolute place to pray.
Yeah, dark is dangerous. All right, it's not like you've got street lighting or something. All right. So it's while it's still dark, because as soon as it's light, people are looking for him, right? So he has to make that circumstance. He has to create that. One more.
I like the Jesus as well, and I like how I said the solitary place, again, getting away from people when you need time with God. Yeah, he must have been quite busy.
Yeah, he was a touch busy, wasn't he? And he's got towns, villages of people that want healing coming to him. I mean, you understand, doctor, you know, all these people coming for healing. And he has to leave the house, get up early, go off to a solitary place to find a place to pray. He creates the circumstances. Now, we haven't got time to do these passages of justice tonight, so I'm not going to try. But I'd like to encourage you to, we don't have in the Bible a lot of specific examples of people having quiet times. They obviously do. But we don't have that many examples. So when we have examples of people taking time to be with God, it does us well to pay attention to them and ask ourselves what we see in them and what patterns we see. And I think you do see patterns in these examples, which I leave you to study more, think about, and find what you need from them. So I think it's fascinating that we see them creating the circumstances. They are determined. They will not be victims of their circumstances. Not David for the emotional distress he's going through. Not Daniel through the threat of the political powers. Not Jesus through the overwhelmed nature of all the people coming to be healed by him. And not Peter by the fact that he's in a stranger's home and may not know where to go and pray, but he thinks the roof must be free, I'll go there. But none of them are victims. They're all creative to make sure they get their connection with God. So, I would suggest this, and I'm going to wrap up with a few bits of sharing. I think what our essentials are simply these, in terms of the practicals of a quiet time, the essentials are space and time. We need some space for us and to be with God, and we need some time. How long that is, how big the space is, where the space is, and what time of day the time is, isn't anything like as significant as the fact that we make the time and we create the space. If you've got time and space and you, that's all you need for quiet time. God will show up. It's whether we show up and create the space and create the time. That's really all that it is about. Recently, I was thinking about my own, some aspects of my quiet times, and my prayer is pretty consistent. Not perfect, but I'm reasonably happy with the progress and growth in that. But my Bible study, particularly at the end of last year and beginning of this year, wasn't so fulfilling. And I've been thinking about it and working on it. And I read and I listened to a couple of things recently that made me think about my study. And I did an audit of what distracts me from my study of God's Word. What is it? What are the things? And so I just sat there one morning thinking, now I would like to be doing my Bible study right now. What is distracting me? And over 2 days I realized all the things that it was. So this is my study area. This is where I do my Bible study. It doesn't matter where your place is, but this is where I do my Bible study at my desk here. And I realized that, for one thing, sometimes I had other software going on in the background. Even I got my Bible to my Bible software, and that's all you can see on the screen. But I had other software running in the background, like a cleaning up the Mac program or something like, or backup or something like that. And I realized as I was reading my Bible, doing my Bible study, now and again my mind would go, I wonder if that's finished yet. Let me just check. So I decided, okay, no other software except that running. That's number one. Then number two thing I realized was that I had other things on my desk that were distracting me, like my phone and my diary. So my diary I put off to one side, it's not on there anymore, and my phone I put out of sight. It's either in my pocket or it's behind me somewhere. I can't see it, and it's the ringer is turned off. So the phone, it has to be out of sight. It's not just not the ringer being on, because there's something about it being visible that's a problem for me. So the phone is out of sight. The diary and everything else. So everything on here is to do with my Bible study, except for a couple of ornaments. Yes, that is Noddy. That's something my grandparents gave me. It's the only thing I have left from them. That's why Noddy sits there. That's for you younger people, the old people will explain. So there's a Greek Bible, an English Bible, my Bible software, and of course, a mug of tea. So I realised, the windows are behind me, and I realised also that early in the morning, a lot of my neighbours are walking their dogs. So as I'm sitting there, there's a reflection in the screen. I can see my dog, my neighbours walking past. I turn around and I'm like, which one's that? Oh, they've got a new dog. And so I'm distracted by that. So now I pull the curtains. You'll see there's no reflection on the screen because the curtains are pulled. So that was another thing I did because it really helped me to focus. And then, of course, there's other noise in the house because my wife is up and getting ready for work. So she's walking around and I get a bit distracted by that. Is she ready for work? Is she leaving yet? Because I leave with her and she drops me at the other side of the park and I walk back as my prayer walk. So I leave with her to be ready for that, 6:45. So I'm distracted by the noise, so I shut the door. But I can still hear walking around the house. I mean, she's light, of course, she's very light-footed. But even she, I can hear walking around, so I put on some noise-cancelling headphones. I've got a Bluetooth connection with some music, and I have a particular piece of music I play every time I read my Bible, which is Mozart Piano Concerto number 20 in D minor, Kirkel 466. Is my favorite piano concerto by Mozart, and it's about 30 minutes long, which is about the right length for me in terms of my Bible study. That's what I roughly want to do each day. And so that goes on in the background, and I have the headphones on. I really can't hear anything else. And so those are the things I realized. It was noise, it was the curtains, it was the reflections, it was the phone putting out of sight, it was having a favorite piece of music going, no other software running. This is what I need to do to give me my best opportunity to have a good Bible study. Mm. It doesn't guarantee anything, because it depends on my heart. Yeah. But this puts me in the best possible situation. What do you need to do? To put yourself in the best possible situation for some prayer, for some contemplation of scripture, some reading, some study, whatever you need, what you need to put yourself in the best possible situation to be able to enjoy a meaningful, refreshing, connected time with God. And you thought it through. This isn't perfect. I'm sure something else will come up. But we need to do some things to make a difference. Now, just to finish, then, I would say this. All of this theory is fine, right? But in the end, you've got to make a decision. And the word decision is from a word, dekaidere, which means to cut off. So decision is cut off. Incision, same second part of that, right? Like a surgeon, incision, decision. Decision is cut it off. If you're going to make this work, I dare say you're going to have to cut something off. Not too painful, I hope, but take out your metaphorical scissors and think about what needs to go. What needs to go in your morning? What needs to go in your evening? What needs to go in your lunchtime? What needs to go at some point in your day to create the time and the space for this meaningful time with God? Make a decision, cut something, because we are not a victim of our circumstances. We are, in fact, those who create our circumstances. Last thought. If we spent 10 minutes a day over 30 years as a Christian, just only 10 minutes a day in your quiet times, that would add up to 1,835 hours with God. Now, I dare say, if you spend 1,835 hours with God, that's going to change you. It's going to change us. Even a little bit of time, over time, consistently, will change us. And think about what a church would be like with 100 members, say, spending 10 minutes a day for 30 years. That would add up to 180,000 hours, 180,350 hours. What a church we'd be. If over a period of 30 years we spend 100, 200, 300,000 hours with God, what kind of church would we be? Well, only God knows. But let's devote ourselves to God. Let's have some good quiet times. Let's be creators of our circumstances, not victims, because in that way, we really will get to know God well. Thanks very much, hope that's helpful.
Yeah.